We are going to continue the fellowship with the Holy Spirit through prayers. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit through what? Prayers. But we need to understand, though, that we as Christians cannot lose sight of the fact that sharing your life with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, is the one thing that is needful. We can't miss that truth. Sharing your life with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, is the one thing that is what? Needful. If we miss this point, we are left with the flesh, we are left with the world, and we are left with the devil. And none of them is good for us. And so the only way we can live the Christian life is to share our life with the Spirit of God in fellowship. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit in fellowship. And in the new covenant, actually, we are to live by the Spirit. The Old Testament prophet puts it like this in Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So the prophet was talking about the time of grace. That at the time of grace, every mountain will be brought down, and it is going to be by the Spirit of God. So in the New Testament, we actually live by the Spirit of God, not by our flesh. If you get that, say amen. All right, so it's called living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. We can have, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live where? The Spirit. Let us also do what? Walk in the Spirit. So that's the life of the New Testament. It's not the life of flesh at all. In the Old Testament, it was flesh and carnal ordinances. But in the New Testament, it's about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the new life that we have. That's why the Bible says we are born of the Spirit. We are not born of the flesh. And Paul understood this very well. What I'm trying to lay foundation is the importance of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So Paul understood this in Galatians 3:20. In Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with who? Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, how can somebody who is crucified live? Think about it. How can somebody say, I'm crucified, and yet I'm alive? Well, I thought that somebody who is crucified doesn't live. Yet, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. But who? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can put New Living Translation. Let's look at this scripture, the New Living Translation, and see what it's talking about. New Living Translation, Galatians 2:20. New Living Translation. Galatians 2:20, New Living Translation. Okay. My old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. I mean, brethren, think about that. Somebody says, I've been crucified. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? In me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Paul understood this concept that we live by the Spirit, not by our flesh. He understood it very well. So he declared that when Christ came, we were really crucified with him, and that the life we live now is not us. See, that's why a lot of people get into trouble. It's not you. It's not me. It's not any of us. So we can't take credit for what God does in our lives. It's not you. It's not me. It's Christ. It's who? Christ. And so the Bible says we must live in the Spirit. Must live in the Spirit, not the flesh. And because Paul understood exactly the Christian life, he says, I am not the one living this life now. I'm done. It is Christ that lives in me. It is Christ. And I simply trust him with my life every day. And you know, that's exactly how Jesus lived this life. In John 14, 10, you see how Jesus lived his life. In John 14, verse 10. He said, don't you believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak unto, the words I speak are not my own, but my Father, who lives where? Does his work how? Through me. That's what Paul is saying. Christ who lives in me does these things. It's not me. So that's exactly what our Lord Jesus said. He said, my Father who lives in me does these things. Even he's the one that speaks through me. And it's not me, it's him that is speaking. The Christian must understand this concept. It must be very clear to you. Let's look at that scripture again, John 14, 10. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. So all these things go to confirm that you can't live your life as a Christian outside of the Spirit. You got to share your life with the Spirit that lives in you. You can't live independent of him. It's not possible. You just can't. And so the only way we live our lives, that's why the Bible says the just shall live by what? By faith. The only way we live our lives is to trust the Spirit of Christ in us. And part of that trust system is that we have to live in constant fellowship with him. And you must get this etched in your consciousness. I can't do it for you. You have to etch it in your consciousness. You know, that's how David lived his life. That's how Paul lived his life. Paul said, I know before whom I stand. And he said, I know in whom also I believe. So we must get it etched in our lives. Otherwise, we start doing things that we don't have the ability to do. We don't have the calling of God to do. We don't even know how to do that. And the result is confusion. I was sharing with a sister. I said, every single time a Christian is confused, he has undertaken what he cannot do. And God didn't ask him to do that. Every time you get confused, you are out of the light. Moses in the wilderness, God didn't tell him to feed the Israelites. He didn't assign him to feed them. But he went to God and said to God, I'm not the father of all these people. How can I feed them? But God didn't tell him. He was in trouble because he was trying to undertake what only God can do. And then in the same wilderness, the disciples of Jesus ran into the same thing, bread. They went to Jesus and said, even if you work for a whole day, even if you have money, where can we buy bread to feed them? The same thing Moses did, they repeated in the same wilderness, the same spot. The same thing. The reason they were in that turmoil of mind is because they were trying to undertake what God did not assign them. There was no place it was their responsibility to feed that crowd. But they assumed. So if we don't get this in our mind, brethren, we are going to walk in the flesh. I'm telling you the truth. And we are going to draw a lot of failures. Because the flesh will profit us what? Nothing. Except is the Lord building it. This is very serious what I'm telling you. Except it is the Lord building it. If you undertake to build it, the devil has an opportunity to crash it. That's why a lot of people work. They don't sleep. They are fighting the devil. If it's of the Lord, if it's the planting of the Lord, it cannot be uprooted. It cannot be uprooted. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It is very important that you understand this and you live by this principle. Let's look at the same John 14:10 again. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So your testimony and my testimony is that it is the Spirit of Christ in me that does everything. Even gives me the word to speak. When I live in that consciousness, then I'm living by faith. The just lives by faith. Praise the Lord. So all these things go to confirm the importance of fellowshipping with that Spirit of God. Sharing your life with that Spirit of God. If it's the one that is doing everything, then you have no business except to share your life with him because he's the one doing everything. Now, talking about prayer. Now, for us to understand prayer itself in the context that our Lord Jesus, you know, a lot of context about prayer is not what Jesus taught. It's not everything Jesus taught, at least. So for us to understand prayer in the context that our Lord Jesus was teaching it from all he taught, sometimes we take some and leave some of the important other things he mentioned about prayer. But for us to understand prayer in the context that our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching it from all he taught on prayers, we need to understand our relationship with God, the Father, as our Lord taught it. Otherwise, we see prayer in the main Christian culture of just asking and receiving. That's what I'm saying. You see prayer in the main culture of simply asking and what? Receiving. You miss the point. And if you see it like that, you may not be very successful in your prayer life. So we miss out the more important benefit of prayer that can result in changing your life, that can result in deeper relationship with God, that can result in being transformed genuinely, that can bring a Christian into a deeper revelation of the truth that is in Christ, that can teach you the ways of God, relationship that can change nations and families. So we need to understand the foundation of prayer before we can define prayer properly in the context that Jesus was teaching it. Now, this is why so many people do not pray, because they're stressed out praying and see it as a chore. What's a chore? What's a chore? They see it as a chore because they have not realized it is not an obligation or a monologue where you are not really sure what benefits are accruing to you. So they see it as a chore. Others think it is for a privileged few. So if they need anything from God, they look for those privileged few who they think have a different covenant with God, who can go to God for them. That's not what Jesus taught us. For now, let me just tell us something. Prayer is the privilege to enjoy the ministry of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What did I say? It's a privilege to enjoy the ministry of what? The Father. What again? Son. And what again? The Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Prayer is a privilege to enjoy the ministry of who? God the Father. Who is the next? God the Son. And who is the next? God the Holy Spirit. When you come into prayer, you are in a communion with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Because in that prayer circumstance, you are talking to God, the Father, that answered what? Prayer. And in the ministry of Jesus Christ, you are advocate while you are there. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit who helps you in prayer. So you come into the ministry of God the Father, God the Son, and who? Holy Spirit. You're not alone there. It's a big family gathering. The Father is the one that answers the prayer. The Lord Jesus is your advocate right there. Can I hear amen? And the Spirit of God is there helping you in your infirmities. Prayer is more than just going to. You need to understand where you are and what is happening. So just for now, let's just take it as the privilege to enjoy the ministry of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's say it together now. It's the privilege of enjoying the ministry of who? God the Father. What again? And what again? Now, do you know that if you don't understand that you have the ministry of the Son is for you in prayer, your prayer will not be answered? Because you can't have faith for it. It is the ministry of the Son that guarantees you the answer. That's what guarantees you the answer. So key to understanding what prayer is and praying without stress is understanding the fatherhood of God. Key to understanding what prayer is, as Jesus taught the church what prayer is to understand the fatherhood of God. Understanding your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So let's look at the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God is a New Testament concept. It didn't exist in the Old Testament. There was no scripture in the Old Testament that God called God the Father. It never existed. The first person that introduced this idea is Jesus himself. Nobody ever called God the Father until Jesus showed up. Actually, in the Old Testament and in the Jewish culture, calling God the Father is abomination. It is considered blasphemy. And that's one of the things they accused Jesus of doing. Because he called God the Father. You are not supposed to call God the Father. How dare you? So in John chapter 5, verse 18, therefore, the Jews sought the more to what? To what? Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the what? Sabbath, but also said also that God was his father, making himself
Oh, God. That's why they wanted to kill him. Because he said God is his father. So the concept of fatherhood of God wasn't in, it was not an Old Testament teaching. It didn't start until Jesus Christ came. And actually, that is one of the things he came to introduce to us. Can I hear amen? That's one of the things he came to introduce to us. And the Jews fought him because of that. You cannot see why John was so surprised to hear that we are now called the sons of God. So he was so surprised. So, wow. So we are really now sons of God. And he wrote it down, 1 John 3, 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. He wrote it down. Beloved, now are we what? And in another place he said, what manner of love is this that we shall be called? It's all coming from the fact that in their culture to be called the son of God was abomination. So he said, what manner of love is this that finally we are now called what? If you are sleeping, say amen. They were now called what? Sons of God. Because where he was coming from, people were killed for that. People were killed for that. But that's what Jesus came to introduce to us. It was to the Jewish culture. In fact, some writers of the gospel were very conscious of that. Some of them were very conscious of that too. But I think one of them was not even referring to that. He was trying to avoid conflict. It was a serious thing to call God your father. And I want to tell you that in the present day church, the concept of God the Father is not too serious. I'm not kidding you. It's not too serious. People don't really even think about it. But that's the main relationship between you and God, Father. The main relationship between me and my God is my Father. The main relationship between you and God is what? Is your Father. That's when Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father, what? That's the main thing. That's why I'm saying that you can't get the concept of prayer from Jesus' point of view unless you first understand the fatherhood of God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many what? Okay. Let me read your own. Let me read your King James Version. Put King James Version. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many what? Sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That it was God's plan to bring us into the privilege of sonship. To bring you and I into the privilege of what? Sonship. Did you know what the Bible says? It said, because your sons, what has happened? You are now, yes, because you are. He didn't say because you are Christians. He didn't say because you are now. No. He said because you are sons. That's the reason. He didn't say because you are now. No, he said because you are sons. You become heirs of Christ and joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. So the fatherhood of God is so key in the New Testament because Jesus died to bring us into this privilege of sonship. Every one of us. P- Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, there's one word that will unfold this and introduce us to fellowship with God in prayer. It's called Abba. What is the word? Abba. In Mark 12:14-36. Mark 14:36. And he said, what did he say? Mark 14:36. And he said, what did he say? Abba what? Why didn't he say Father? The word Abba introduces something which we'll talk about. That word Abba introduces something about the fatherhood of Jesus, of God. Why did he say just Father? And he said, Abba, what? Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Call him Abba, Father. And we too can also call him what? Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. 6. And because you are what? Sons. God has sent forth the spirit of his son where? Into your heart, crying what? Abba, Father. Because you are sons. See the same word, Abba. That word carries a revelation about the type of relationship, the type of fatherhood God has for us. And I'm begging you to listen to me. Because many people, their prayer is not working. They stress out and cry and cry like they cry like Prophet Abba. It's not working. He said, because you are sons, you can now call God Father. Right? It's not what he said. You can call him what? Abba Father. That Abba makes all the difference. And it's important that we understand what it means. Why call him Abba Father? That word Abba describes the fatherhood of God, the relationship between you and God. It describes what Jesus was able to do to connect you and God. And it's not just, how do I put it? It's not just positional something. It's not just positional stuff. It's an intimate love relationship that touches heart to heart. That your pain touches him. Come on, church. That your pain what? Touches him. Abba is a relationship of intimate love that is inseparable. Abba describes intimacy that is inseparable. It's an intimacy that two people are joined, and everywhere you find this person, you find... Have you seen people who are so close like that? That's what the word Abba is telling you. That's why he said, because you are sons, you call him Abba Father. Jesus said, Abba Father. He said, I and my Father were one. We're inseparable. We're completely inseparable. That this is a relationship of father and son. It's not just positional thing because I'm son. No. It goes because I'm son. It goes into a relationship of Abba. That says, if I cry, it touches him. If I have pain, it touches him. Come on, church, say amen. If I weep, it touches him. The Bible says we are, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's Abba. It's a very deep love relationship between you and God. It's not just your father. He's Abba Father. It's the type of intimacy and the type of relationship, like I said, that is not, it's inseparable. That's why God said, I will never leave you. Or what? Because I'm your Abba. Can't leave you. We're inseparable. If you get the shout hallelujah. A relationship where you can bear it all and still be loved. I mean, nothing can separate you from this love. You can bear it all. It's a relationship where you can bear your mind, where you can say things that you can't tell anybody, and you're still loved. It's a relationship where you can't be rejected. Abba. Not just Father. But what? I didn't hear you. But what? Abba, Father. He said, because you are sons, you cannot call him Father. You cannot call him what? I thought you correct me. Because you are sons, you cannot call him. Are you following what I'm saying? Anu, can you come? You see, he can be my son, right? But I may not be his Abba Father. But I can be his father legally. Yeah, he can call me father. And he can have access to everything I have. That's how many Christians see God. But that's not what Jesus taught us. What Jesus taught us is a relationship that bound by love, that we are one in purpose, we are one in everything. Where you find me, you find him. That's why I said, I and my father, we are inseparable. What joins this is his love for me. He's my Abba, not just father. And because we're joined, my pain touches him. Can I hear amen? So when you go to God and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? You don't know who he is. He's your Abba. He cared for you. The Bible says he cared for you how? Affectionate. I don't know if I'm communicating to you anything. Are you getting anything? Are you hearing me? So now, no, we are not going. I'm your Abba now. How can you go? Now, see, because he's imperfect, he will try to do some things. But because I love him, I will not forsake him. I will forsake him. I will not. That's why Jesus said, I've written you in the palm of my hands and no one can take you from. I'll fight over you. I'll keep you. Praise the Lord. Church, I said praise the Lord. Because he's a son. He's a son. Yeah? I'm my father. But am I his Abba? That's the question. But God is your Abba. He's your Abba. You can call him what? A father. This is a relationship. It's not just father and son. It's deeper. It's an intimacy where we're united in purpose, in everything. You won't let me go. You won't let me. We sing it now. Thank you. Okay. So now, if you understand this, how freely can he come and share fellowship with me? Talk to me, church. But the devil will say you can't now. And we listen to the devil more than the Bible. Thank you. John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. That's all. Because you believe I came forth from God, the Father loves you. Now, let's now define prayer. Prayer, therefore, is a privileged fellowship of love between a loving father and his child. This loving relationship between a loving father and his son or daughter, not a regimented religious activity, which causes stress, but a continue, I don't come back. Since I become your Abba, I'll take your car after service. Come. Prayer is not a regimented religious what? Activity. What is regimented? Structured, rigid. That's not prayer. This type of relationship cannot produce any regimented anything. There's only one thing it produces: a continuous flow. A continuous flow of sharing, verbal sharing. A continuous flow. It's not regimented because we are joined 24/7. Not regimented. So I can pray without ceasing. So if I'm in the bathroom, am I talking to him? Come on, you're not answering me. If I'm in the car, am I talking to him? Is he hearing me? Eh? The one I'm telling him in my car and the one I told him in church, is there any difference? There's no difference. Thank you. In fact, let me tell you something. Some of the answers you got in prayer were the things you said casually and forgot. Prove me wrong. There are things you told God casually and you forgot. The devil didn't have opportunity to inject doubt in you. The thing worked. You just talk to God casually, you forgot it. Because the devil didn't have opportunity. You got the experience. You didn't have opportunity to inject doubt. You forgot it. The thing works. Pia, pia, pia. Because no doubt to stop it. No doubt to stop it. Some of the great things that happened in your life were the things you just talked to God. You just were walking out and you spoke to God casually. Does anybody have that experience? Am I the only one? And then it happens, you go, wow, that's what I was talking to God about. Yeah. It was not a structured thing. It's Abba, Father. While you were walking out, he was there. You were talking with him. So I want us to understand prayer from Jesus' point of view. He wasn't teaching anything structured. He wasn't. He was teaching us a continuous verbal interaction of an ever-present father with his own child. That's prayer. Continuous verbal interaction with an ever-present what? Father and his child who he loves. That's prayer. Continuous verbal interaction. Continuous. That's prayer. It's a continuous verbal what? Interaction. Between a loving father and his child. And Jesus made it possible. That's when you pray, you enjoin the ministry of God, the Father who answered a prayer. The ministry of God, the Son, he's your advocate, because without him, you can't be. This prayer is not going to work. And the power of the Holy Spirit who enables you in prayer. Whether you are praying as a congregation or praying as an individual, this is basically what you are doing. Whether as a group, as one, you are having a verbal interaction with your Father that Jesus made possible. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I'll not come back here. Now, in this interaction that we're supposed to be having, and we're going, and he has some issues, so he starts talking to me about it. If he starts talking, will I be hearing? Eh? Supposing he starts yelling. You know why he's yelling? He doesn't know me as Abba. The day he knows me as Abba, he talks to me as Abba. The day he knows me as Abba, he knows he doesn't need the yelling. He doesn't need that. Because I'm an ever-present God with him. And I will listen to him. Because I will never forsake him in his trouble. Even if he's wrong, I will teach him. I'll correct him. I'll bring him back. Because I'm his only hope of glory in this world. He doesn't have any other hope of glory except Christ in him. So if he's talking to me, the way he's talking to me will tell you whether he knows me as God the Father or God the Abba Father. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes we think that except he stresses himself that I'm not pleased. No. The relationship is because you are son, God is your Abba Father. And Jesus said he loves you because you believe in me. That's all. I'm in trouble. He's not letting me go again. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you know that prayer is fellowship with the Spirit of God. That's what prayer is. It's a way to fellowship with your Father, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, interact with the Holy Spirit. And bear your mind. You say what you can't tell anybody there, and you still be loved. Still be loved. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more what? Strangers. And what? Case closed. Now, therefore, you are no more what? Strangers and what? Foreigners. You are not a stranger to God. You are not a foreigner. He is your Abba Father. But fellow citizens with the saints. That's with Paul, with all the saints, fellow citizens with all of them, and of the household of God. Now let's see an example of this sharing, of fellowship that people shared before us. 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Then he started talking to the Lord about it. How many times? How many times? That he might depart from me. And he said unto me, what did he say to him? I'll not come back. Come here, let's demonstrate this one. He said three times. Three times he said, Daddy, you know, this thing, I need for you to take it out. Because the thing is really harassing my life. You know. And then the father says to him, my grace is what? See, they're having fellowship. They're sharing. They're having interaction. He talks, the father talks. He talks, the father talks. He talks, the father talks. So he's able to say, okay, this is what my father says about this thing. This is my father's position on this thing. And that's what builds his faith. Because he knows where the father stands. How many times did they talk to God about it? Every single time, God will talk back to him. That's called fellowship. That's what prayer is. It's not a regimented something. It's a sharing. It's a verbal interaction. That you can say, I know what God is telling me about this. But we talk and talk and talk and we don't even know whether God said anything or not. See, the man that God used to teach me Christianity, he taught me well. He was sharing about his life. He said, before, when I got married, I knew how many children I have. I knew their names. I knew everything. Because God was talking with me. And somewhere along the line, the Lord told me, say, your wife has short life. He said, no, your wife has short life. And I said, Lord, no, I don't want her to die because I don't want to marry another woman. So I don't want to start training another woman. And the Lord said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, extend her life. And the woman lived longer than him. The woman lived far longer than him, about 3 years longer than him. That's what prayer is. It's interaction between a father and his son where you discuss issues like father and daddy. Why you go and worship him and praise him and say, Lord, thank you so much. Wow, you did this for me. Amazing. Whoa, this is amazing. I'm so excited. Father, you are just such a wonderful father. One time, the income of the church was going down. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is your church. I said, your income is going down. I said, what are you going to do about it? That's why I talked to him. I said, what are you going to do about it? I said, your income is going down. What are you going to do about it? He said, this is conversation. Why do you expect increase in income? He said, have you increased what you give? He said, I bless this church now, but he hasn't increased what he gives. So why should he expect increase? He said, all the missionaries and things, the same thing you've been giving them is the same thing you have been giving them. So your account is maxed out. If you want more, you give more. So all those are serving me now. So some of them depend on it for their food. You haven't given them more and you spent more. They are not getting more. You are not getting more. Case closed. And Obika is my witness. I came here and told Obika, I said, we're increasing all this thing. Immediately we increased it, everything came back now. No stress. No stress. No stress. Prayer is not supposed to be stressful. It's not so. How can you talk to a lover and you're stressed out? Do you get stressed talking to her? Both of them can talk 24 hours and they never get tired. Even after Wednesday program, you can see them stay all the way to the car. Inside the car, they're still talking. Somebody said that if you see a man and a woman in the car, and if they are not talking, say they are married for a long time. It's a long time ago. They are finished talking everything there is to talk. Lovers talk. Lovers share. Lovers want to hear the voice of their loved one. There is nothing as exciting as the voice of the one you love. Very exciting. Let me tell you, love is yearning for somebody. Love is acceptance. Love is not just love. Love is yearning, a desire. When you love somebody, you want his presence or her presence. That's what love is. Love is never tired of your presence. Never. That's why they say the way to a lover's house is never too far. God's love for us is not tired of hearing you. Actually, he craves your presence. He craves you. That's what prayer is. If God craves to hear me, then I'll talk to him. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. And if I'm talking to him, I'm not stressed. I'm not stressed. There's no stress about it. If I'm talking and I'm tired, I say, Lord, we'll continue this time. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. Go to bed. Sometimes I want to go to bed and I'm just sleep, wanting to sleep, and he's giving me scriptures. And I said, Lord, I just want to sleep. Say, get up and go and write it. Get up there and go and write it. I get up and I go and before long, 1 hour, I'm still writing. I mean, I'm about to sleep. He's giving me scriptures. You see, this thing I'm teaching you dictated it to me. I'm not kidding. You dictated this to me. You said the church doesn't know this. Something I'm about to sleep, it's giving me scriptures. I mean, I've just turned into sleep. And the thing is coming to me. I say, Lord, it's sleep time. He said, get up and go and write. That's prayer. That's interaction. Verbal interaction with my daddy. Can I hear amen? Yeah. And if you understand it and do it the way Jesus does it, you can pray a lot. Without stress. You can pray a lot. You can pray for hours without knowing. When you are talking with God, discussing with God over a day, if you accumulate it in hour, it's a lot. Because you have formed the habit of talking to him at every time. Everything you are just talking, discussing with him. Even your job, you are talking with him, discussing with him. That's prayer. It's fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't read concordances and books. If I read books, just few books. I don't listen to preachers. I want to be me. If I'm listening to preachers, one or two, but not all this television thing, because I want to hear. I ask him questions. Everything I'm teaching is what he tells me. I'm teaching is talking with him about it. Sometimes they remove all the scriptures you put. It's say a lot. Take one. Just use this one. I put that one. It's called prayer. Interacting with him. Verbally. Paul said, this is what he told me. I talked to him. He spoke back to me. I talked to him. He spoke back to me. So you talk to him. He what? I'm not hearing you. He what? Speaks back to you. Praise the Lord. Did I communicate anything? Am I here alone? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. So we need to adjust some things. Take out this religious stuff, my friend. These are the things that cause your prayer not to work. Very easy. The cheapest thing you do is to get your prayer answered. It's not too difficult. God said, I'm God that answered what? Prayer. So he knows I answer prayer. You don't have another God that answers prayer. Same thing. Look at Isaiah 43, 26, Amplified. Let's see God's idea of prayer. He began to talk about it in the Old Testament itself. Isaiah 43, 26. Put me in what? Remind me of your merits with a thorough report. Let us plead and argue our case. What? State your position. That's what God is saying. Come now, let's talk. And let's talk your issue over. State your position. Remind me now. Come, let's talk. That you may be proved right. Ah, come, let's talk. Let's discuss. Let's settle it. Then Isaiah 1:18, New Living Translation. Isaiah 1, what? Come now, let's do what? I didn't hear you. Read it. Come now, let's do what? Let's settle this. If you have an issue, come, let's settle it now. Well, let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let me mention quickly some misconceptions about prayer that hinders those beautiful fellowships with the God the Father. Prayer is not an attention-seeking device. Prayer is not what? Attention-seeking device. Matthew 6:18, Message. God doesn't require attention-giving devices. Message. Matthew 6:18, Message. Yeah, the last two lines. The last one to the third line. God doesn't require attention getting what? Devices. God doesn't require that. Prayer is not an attention, draw attention to yourself, that you pray a lot, pray too much. You know, when I meet people who tell me how they pray a lot, I don't get intimidated. I just say, praise the Lord for you. It's not an attention getting something. It's not something you do to be seen of people, to be praised. It's not something, it's not wrong. Prayer is simply sharing your time with your Father. It's not an attention getting something. In Matthew 6, 5, King James Version. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the what? Are you stay there? Matthew 6, 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the what? Hypocrites are. For they love to pray what? In the synagogues and where again? Corners of the street, that they may be what? Seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's not fellowship with God. That's not prayer. That's not prayer at all. And when you pray, that shall not be, okay, sorry, the next verse now. The next verse, please. Verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into that what? It's a business between you and your Father. It's not a public stuff. Go do your thing with your daddy. Talk privately with him. Enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is what? In secret. And thy Father now, which seeth in secret, shall reward you open. So it's not attention seeking something. So when you pray, everybody will say, it's a jinjim Christian. That's all you get now, because it's jinjim. Jinjim is what you wanted. So now you've gotten jinjim. You are not in fellowship with God. That's not what prayer is. And prayer is not arm twisting. To twist the arm of God. It's not arm twisting. James 4:2. James 4:2. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And when New Living Translation. And when you ask, you don't get because what's the reason? It's not I'm twisting something. You don't go and impose your motive on God, impose your will on God, and I have to. You can't force God to do anything. It's a waste of time. Because your motive is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. It's not, prayer is not arm twisting something. Forget it. It's in that conversation God will reveal his will for you on that matter. Like he told Paul, he said, listen, my grace is what? And what did Paul say next? He said, nah, rejoice in the infirmity. It's not I'm twisting something. You don't go and say, God must do it. Must do it. We'll be doing it there now. God can't change. Can't change. Doesn't change. Can't do your will. Has to do his will. Praise the Lord. I remember, I'm going to tell you about my wife. Don't tell her. If you do, I quarrel with you. You know, when she had her last baby, she wanted the girl so desperately. She bought girls stuff, quote every scripture about girls. And I called her, I said, you are going to have a boy. And he said, you are my trouble. I said, okay, fine. I want to agree with you. I'm not your trouble. But I'm telling you what is going to happen. You are going to have a boy. So my wife, scripture. And then she had a friend. Real story. She had a friend that came and told us that if you have this girl, we will marry her. I'm not making this up. He's a four-square pastor. He said, we'll marry her. I said, why? He said, because we want something from your family. And she meant it. She really meant it. Then my wife went, and all his boys were planning how to fight for their sister. They were planning and saying, if anybody touches our sister, we teach them a little. So they were planning how to protect their sister in school and everything. I'm twisted. Guess who came out? Ugochukwu. Ugochukwu came. Cain was looking at them. So I went to the boys. I said, look, you need to accept what God gives. Because they wanted a girl. You need to accept what God gives. And the mystery of it, before she got pregnant, she saw Ugochukwu in a revelation. Real story. She saw this boy in a revelation crying for a mother. And she told God, if you want to use this boy, if you need this boy in this world, I will carry him for you. And when Ugochukwu came out, he said, this is exactly the boy I saw in that revelation. You can't untwist God. Can't. And why did God show her that revelation? This is what I want. I want this boy. I will use him in this life. But you want a girl. And finally, God gave us a boy. But now the girls came. Praise the Lord. The girls began to come. Beautiful girls. Jessica, my daughter, came. Awesome. Then another one is coming. Beautiful girls I have. Was awesome. The girls began to come. And then my wife said, finally, the girls are coming. He said, I used to be the only girl in this family. Now I have more. You know what I'm trying to show you? Prayer is not, I'm twisting God. Stop that. You frustrate yourself or not. Prayer is having a verbal interaction with God where he can reveal his mind to you. He will reveal his mind to you on issues that affect you. He will show you things to come. He will tell you your place in the things you are doing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. One time I was sitting in church, the Lord said to me, he said, you are giving me the same offering for a long time. He said, this servant, have I not blessed you? I said, Lord, you have. I said, what do you want me to give you? Silence. Silence. So I decided what to give God. If I tell you, I didn't have it. But I was writing the checks. And that check, sometimes it tries to bounce you, but God helps me out. It doesn't bounce. You see, this thing I'm telling you brings you into the will of God every time. If you go off, it brings you back. If you go off, even the discussion, conversation you have with people you don't call anything, it will teach you things from that conversation. Some of them say, don't talk like this again. This is what we'll do to you. This thing is amazing. You can't just miss it. Because this, Jesus said, this is one thing that is natural. This interaction with the Spirit of God all the time. Fellowshipping with him. Through the word, studying the word. Now we're talking about fellowshipping with him through prayer. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll talk about the confidence in this fellowship. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything? Are you going to be stressed praying? No more. Let's rise up.